Mr. Holland.
Correct.
Okay.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is Brooks Holland, and I do represent Kimberly Rouse. With the Court's permission, I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal.
Sure. Keep an eye on the clock.
I will, thank you. Your Honors, Ms. Rouse appeals her conviction by jury verdict of criminal possession of marijuana with the intent to distribute, and her sentence of 1 year and 1 day of incarceration. Ms. Rouse was tried on an indictment that charged her with this possession offense, as well as conspiracy to distribute, along with three co-defendants, Mr. Gao, Mr. McLeod, and Mr. Clark. Ms. Rouse was tried alone, however, because the three co-defendants absconded prior to trial and, to my knowledge, remain fugitives. The jury could not reach a verdict on the conspiracy count, and the district court declared a mistrial, and the government represented that it would not re-prosecute on that charge. On appeal, Your Honors, we argue three main points. First, that the evidence was legally insufficient to support the conviction of the possession offense. Second, that the district court committed plain error in allowing Agent Mitch Pribble, P-R-I-B-B-L-E, to offer an expert opinion interpreting infrared thermal images that were played before the jury in a video exhibit that was admitted.
Now, when we say interpreted, he'd been trained in that, and they looked at it, and he told what he saw. Is that right?
Correct, Your Honor. The record makes clear through direct and cross-examination that Agent Pribble was basing his interpretation, as he called it, both on his visual inspection of the video that was being played for the jury contemporaneously with his testimony, and his training and experience both in using the infrared camera device that recorded these instruments, as well as some unspecified training and experience over about 20 years in interpreting these images. And it's for that reason that we argue that this testimony constituted expert opinion evidence subject to the strictures of Federal Rule of Evidence 702 and Daubert.
A mixture of being a precipient witness and an expert.
Correct. Yeah. Right. It was an unusual combination of testimony, the way it came in. The witness was merely describing for the jury what the jury itself could see as this video exhibit was being played for the jury. This video exhibit was played during the testimony of multiple witnesses. Another agent, Agent Ostrowski, also described the contents of this video. He was the agent who downlinked the video from Agent Pribble. Agent Pribble was recording this video from an airplane at about 6,800 feet above the
air. What are you saying, that there should have been a Daubert hearing, or what are you saying?
A Daubert hearing or some foundation demonstrating the methodology that Agent Pribble used to interpret the specific moment in the video that's the subject of our evidentiary challenge.
Your Honor, counsel, nobody ever objected to the testimony. Nobody ever asked for the hearing. Nobody ever challenged the validity of the infrared technology. So it seems to me that I have to find plain error, don't I?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And if I have to find plain error, then I have to review the testimony. And if the testimony shows the reliability of this witness's testimony as an expert, then it shows what his foundation may have been for what he did. I really haven't got much to say, have I? Because here, there was over 1,000 hours of experience, no evidence of misuse. Another agent also provided infrared information, as you suggested, how the infrared worked and how to interpret it. And we've allowed infrared information before in U.S. versus Sanchez. So as I look at the testimony and as I look at what there is in this record, doesn't seem to me that plain error is a good review.
Well, Your Honor, the challenge is not to the admissibility of the video, which contains the thermal images produced by the infrared camera. We concede that a sufficient foundation was laid under existing case law for the admission of that evidence. Our challenge is to Agent Pribble's testimony interpreting one very specific and very important portion of that video, where Agent Pribble testified that based on his training experience, he could see something that frankly is simply not discernible from a layperson observation of this video, that it shows Ms. Rouse on the boat physically going to one side of the boat and assisting Mr. Gao in unloading the bags of marijuana from the boat so that he could deliver them to the shore for an offload.
Right.
And a layperson observation of this video simply does not reveal anything close to that degree of specificity.
But if I look at what there is in the record about his foundation for what he said, and given that I have to find this to be plain error problem, I'm having trouble finding why it is plain error.
Your Honor, the problem is that while Agent Pribble testified to his training and experience in using and even interpreting the thermal images produced by the infrared camera, he never explained the method by which he was able, through that training experience, to interpret a video that in no way depicted to the layperson eye what he said was there. These very specific, unique movements identified remotely from 6,800 feet in the air by infrared camera. And the error is substantial in affecting the rights and interests of Ms. Rouse, because this really was the push point in the evidence that got this case passed, potentially a legal sufficiency claim, certainly on the way
to this. This wasn't a very large boat, was it?
No, it was a relatively small boat, Your Honor.
The pictures are illuminated to some extent.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The pictures that were provided show a rather, you know, a little... You know, the boat is kind of small.
Yes, you're correct. And I think a fair view of the video and the portion to which Agent Pribble testified shows that there's somebody on the boat and there's some movement on the boat corresponding to a time when Mr. Gao returned for the final offload. There were four bags of marijuana that were offloaded, and Mr. Gao retrieved, I believe, three of them according to the video and delivered them to Mr. Clark on the land for the drop-off before the moment when Ms. Rouse, according to Agent Pribble's testimony, came over and helped to lift one of these heavy bags and hand it to Mr. Gao for the delivery, which really, other than mere presence and association, is the key moment when the government was able to argue active assistance by Ms. Rouse in this marijuana operation.
If we were to eliminate that, what do we have? We know she was in the boat that went in there with lights off. We know that there were big hockey bags of marijuana that were unloaded. And I guess she was at the wheel when they left. Is that right?
That is correct. The evidence, however, demonstrates nothing about why or how Ms. Rouse got into this boat and was present and associating with Mr. Gao. The evidence was rather strong as to Mr. Gao, Mr. Clark, and Mr. McLeod about their participation in a marijuana distribution conspiracy. Ms. Rouse, however, was sort of inexplicably present on the boat with Mr.
How about driving the boat? Is that enough?
The driving of the boat away from the scene certainly is a suspicious moment, and the government highlighted it, but it's a very different case that she is momentarily and quite slowly driving the boat only upon departure, while Mr. Gao, according to the testimony, was back in the engine compartment of the car, than to have evidence that Ms. Rouse, according to Agent Pribble's testimony, was helping to unload bags of marijuana and hand them to Mr. Gao.
But otherwise, Gao, there was... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut off if you had further... answer to that question.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I was only going to highlight that there was no other evidence demonstrating a connection meaningfully between Ms. Rouse and this marijuana operation. In fact, the jury could not reach a verdict on the conspiracy count.
Well, however, if I look at the evidence, the hockey bags weighed 224 pounds. And I looked at that small boat that Judge Paez looked at. There were four of them. They gave off an odor. I mean, they didn't smell like alfalfa, which is what I normally smell. You know what that's all about, marijuana. The boat came to shore with the lights off. There was a brief attempt to get away with her driving. She made false statements about the boat breaking down. When they reviewed all of the evidence, the boat didn't break down at all. It went back across this particular body of water for several times. I mean, if I even throw off participated in unloading the bags, it seems to me there's sufficient evidence to come by what I need to say that any rational trier of fact could have found the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. And my worry is that now I'm supposed to throw out evidence on plain error review when I've got this guy who tells me how much experience he's had in the record, and I got nobody challenging the fact that there was a misuse here So I'm having trouble, frankly, getting to where you want me to go.
Your Honor, I see I'm in my final 10 seconds. May I respond to the Court's question?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honor, the concern is that while there were suspicious circumstances to the arrival of the boat, there was marijuana on the boat, the marijuana potentially could have been detectable to anyone on the boat, although there was no testimony that these bags of marijuana would have been as easy to smell at 25 to 30 knots out on open water as they were in the back of a van when the officers opened the closed van and detected the strong odor. But even if Ms. Rouse was on the boat and knew marijuana was there, the question is whether she had been taken for a ride from what may have been a social connection with Mr. Gao. If Your Honors recall, the evidence demonstrated that she was wearing essentially evening social attire. She was wearing suit pants and a jacket. She had evening shoes on and was coming from the Crescent Beach Marina. Whether she was an active participant in the delivery of marijuana into the United States, without Agent Pribble's testimony, we have essentially equivocal evidence that could go either way in terms of the inferences that could be drawn. And it was only Agent Pribble's testimony that really served as the push point for the government here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. My name is Mike Lang. I'm with the United States of America. Ms. Rouse received a fair trial, and her conviction should be affirmed. She raises three issues in her appeal, and I'd like to address each of those in turn. First, as to the sufficiency of the evidence, Judge Smith did address the standard that this Court must adopt in reviewing the sufficiency of the evidence, and that is whether at least one trier of fact, taking the evidence in the light most favorable to the government, could have concluded that Ms. Rouse aided and abetted the possession with intent to distribute marijuana. Ms. Rouse was traveling on a small boat, which traveled on a 5-hour trip at nighttime from Canada directly to an isolated beach, which was closed as a park, at 10 o'clock at night that June night, where two men waited for the drugs to be transferred. The navigation lights were off as they traveled to the drop-off point. The boat was loaded with 4 hockey bags, which in turn were stuffed with over 200 pounds of marijuana, valued at over $750,000. This Court has previously found that the amount of marijuana and the value of it could be used to infer knowledge. The boat was very small, only sufficient room for 2 people to sit. As Judge Pius has noted, the 2 people sat up front. There was very little room in the back for 4 hockey bags, I would submit to the Court. Very likely, at least 2, if not all of them, were stuffed down in the bow and had to be removed at the drop-off. And if the Court has had the opportunity to view the video, I don't know if you have, it's a very quick, perhaps 3 to 4 minute drop-off. And these bags were removed from the boat fairly quickly, assuming that the drugs were divided equally in among the 4 bags. That's about 50 pounds a bag. Certainly Mr. Gao would need some assistance in getting them over the back of the boat to the waiting individual, whoever that was, McLeod or Clark. There's one person seen on the video walking out to the boat, picking up the marijuana. Mr. Gao gets out of the boat and takes at least 2 bags up to the beach. But I would submit as well that Ms. Rouse, by actually driving the boat, and there was an individual, you can see it on the video, holding the boat steady in the water while the bags are offloaded, did right there aid and abet the crime. Somebody had to hold that boat steady as the tide was going in. There was testimony about if the boat had not been held steady in the water, it would have beached on the shore. And Ms. Rouse aided and abetted the crime at the very least by holding the boat steady while these bags of marijuana were offloaded. The video also shows somebody at the driver's helm leaving the helm for a moment, going back to the rear area. Now, I will concede I can't tell if there's an active handoff or not from what I saw in the video, but what I would point out is the physical makeup of the boat, how it is in the water. As Mr. Gao is trying to reach in, you have to assume he's picking up a 50-pound bag. Standing in the water with a boat rocking in the tide, I would suggest to this Court, needs some assistance to get a 50-pound bag over the side of the boat. And Ms. Rouse's movement on the video would suggest and corroborate the physical layout of the scene, that she would have had to assist in lifting that bag over. The bags did smell strongly of marijuana. I understand this wasn't in a closed van, but at the very least, when Ms. Rouse got on the boat, she would have smelled it. The boat also stopped. about halfway through the trip, right at the U.S.-Canada parallel, the 49th parallel, and it stopped there for about 5 minutes. There was certainly an opportunity to smell the marijuana at that point, and finally at the drop-off point. So all of these factors, I would submit, a rational trier fact could have found that Ms. Rouse knew a drug transfer was taking place in front of her eyes, and she was assisting it either by holding the boat steady in the water or actively handing off one bag to Mr. Gao. Turning to the issue of Mitch Pribble's testimony, Agent Pribble's testimony, the court properly admitted this as lay opinion testimony. The standard of review, as Judge Smith also pointed out, is plain error. In other words, did the admission of this testimony affect substantial rights and seriously affect the fairness, integrity, or public reputation of the judicial proceedings? And that standard has simply not been met in this case. Agent Pribble's testimony was rationally based on his perception. He was able to look at the video. It was helpful to a clear understanding of the issues. This was an issue that was important to the fact finder at trial, and it was not based on any scientific or technical knowledge. He simply looked at the video and said, in my experience, that looks like an offload or a handoff to me. That's what it looks like to me. And the jury was free to either accept that or reject it. That testimony is no different than that offered in Von Willey, where an experienced drug abuse officer testified that it's common for drug traffickers to possess or use weapons to protect drugs, and that the MK-11, the gun in that case, was particularly intimidating. These observations, as this court found, were common enough that they could be deemed lay witness opinion testimony. That is the same as Agent Pribble's testimony. As to the sentencing issue, Your Honors, Ms. Rouse was sentenced to 12 months and a day, which was almost 2 years below the advisory guideline range. The court clearly took into account her medical condition and felt that this situation, based on her conduct, was reasonable in light of her medical condition. Unless the court has any questions, I would rest at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll give you 1 minute.
In rebuttal, I would simply highlight one important feature of the evidence here in response to the government's argument. The government has argued, as I understand it, that the video showing the drop-off can be interpreted to include a depiction of Ms. Rouse assisting physically in the unloading of marijuana, because otherwise Mr. Gao physically would not have been able to handle these large bags of marijuana. But the video, even as interpreted by Agents Pribble and Ostrowski, shows at least two, if not three, full deliveries of bags of marijuana by Mr. Gao to the shore without any assistance. It's only the final bag and the retrieval of that bag to the shore that's the subject of our evidentiary challenge to Agent Pribble's testimony. When Agent Pribble didn't just say, this looks like a drop-off to me, or a handoff, he specifically testified repeatedly that the video shows Ms. Rouse physically lifting and delivering the bag to Mr. Gao. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. We appreciate both sides' arguments. The matter will be submitted. Our next case is United States versus Philip Gonzalez.